Welcome to Tardi Mecha Nach Yomi with the OUM's initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu, chapter 18. In the last parak, Yirmiyahu taught about the importance of bitachon and ended the parak with a nevuah about how the nation could also be saved if they demonstrated their bitachon by being observant of the Shabbos laws. In this parak, Yirmiyahu further expands upon the nature of bitachon that people should have. He will demonstrate this through a symbolic example. This parak has a long introduction before the actual nevuah that is shared with the people, as this message is relevant to all generations. The parak ends with Yirmiyahu once again turning to Hashem, asking for help with dealing with his enemies. At Hashem's command, V'yaradata beis hayotzer, go down to the house of the potter. Yirmiyahu goes to the potter and sees a potter working at a pottery wheel. In the book, Uncovering Sefer Yirmiyahu, Rabbi Landy explains the process of pottery making in the times of Yirmiyahu. The first step was taking clay that had been soaked in water and putting it on a device that had two rotating discs, which are called ha'avnayim. These discs allowed the potter to shape perfectly circular objects. As long as the clay was wet, the potter could reform the clay into a new vessel. After it hardened, it could not be reshaped. Yirmiyahu goes to the potter and sees him making an object on his potter's wheel. As Yirmiyahu is standing there, he sees that the potter is dissatisfied with what he made, so he reforms it into a clay ball. Verse 4. Vaya'asehu kli acher kasher yashar be'enei hayotzer la'asos. And he made it into another vessel, as it would please the potter to make. The Malbim says that there are two elements to this mashal. First, the potter destroyed the first utensil entirely without a trace that it existed. And second, the potter made something entirely new from the clay, signifying this was a permanent change that was unrelated to his first creation. It is all being done not because of anything inherent in the nature of the clay, but simply because of the will of the potter. In verse 5 and on, Hashem explains the symbolism. Hine chakomer biyad hayotzer, Kein atem biyadi beis Yisrael. Behold, as clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hands, house of Israel. This pasuk is fundamental to our understanding of what it means to have bitachon in Hashem, and is the source of the powerful tefillah we say during Yom Kippur about how Hashem runs and controls the world. Hashem is teaching us that although we can choose to ignore him, he remains closely involved in the daily management of the universe. No person has a predestined future. They are not a shaped vessel. Hashem can reshape any person and his life at will. Chazal say, Hakol bidei shemayim chutz meyirashemayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven, except for the fear of heaven. In both physical and spiritual matters, only Hashem determines the end result. The only thing a person contributes is his desire to do the right thing. Everything else that happens is only because of Hashem's will. Hashem can decide to change a person's life in a single moment. Verse 7. Rega adaber, in one instant I may speak, al goiv al mamlacha, about a nation and about a kingdom, linsosh v'linsotz u'habid, to uproot, to demolish, and to destroy. The Das Sofrim says that even if a person deserves punishment, things will stay static for a while, as Hashem delays punishment to give a person a chance to improve. When change finally arrives, when the clay of life needs to be reshaped, that moment comes with suddenly, without warning. The Malbim tells us that this pasuk teaches that the destruction is not done to eradicate something from spite. Destruction is a precursor to rebuilding, as the previous iteration was not working out. There is a chance to change course before destruction. This can happen if the nation does tshuva. V'nichamti al hara asher chashavti la'asoslo. I will repent of the evil that I thought to do on it. Hashem will not bring the destruction even at the last moment. This pasuk is talking about a generic nation or kingdom. Hashem accepts tshuva and will change the course of history for a nation that he is not so connected to. How much more so if the Jewish people do tshuva? At any time, Berega, in one moment, verse 9, Hashem can say that the nation and the kingdom should be livnos v'lintoa, to be built and to be planted. Although Hashem offers a chance to change, he knows, verse 10, and that the nation is going to do evil in my eyes, not to listen to my voice. The people will not change, and Hashem will have to back out of making any positive changes for the nation. From verses 1 to 10, Hashem made sure that Yirmiyahu understood that Hashem runs the world. From verses 11 to 17, Hashem shares the nevuah to be shared with the people. Yirmiyahu is taught to talk to Ish Yehuda, individuals in Yehuda, and primarily to Yoshvei Yerushalayim, those who live in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is full of the upper class, the nobility, who make most of the decisions that direct the nation. Yirmiyahu begins the speech once again using the term Komar Hashem, which we have said indicates this is coming from Hashem and not from any resentment of Yirmiyahu. The nevuah is, Anochi Yotzer Aleichem Ra, V'choshev Aleichem Machshava. Behold, I am creating, which is a play on the words for the description of the potter, evil upon you, and I am laying plans against you. This bad is not coming from benevolence, but only because Hashem wants them to do tshuva now. Ve'tivu darchechem, improve your ways, which means they should work on their personality and their habits, and also fix umal aleichem, your deeds that are expressions of a person's underlying character. For a person to improve, they must first work on their thought patterns and their habits, and only then can their behavior shift. This response of the people demonstrates why they won't change and a dangerous attitude that we should try to avoid. Verse 12, Va'amru, no ush. They say, we give up. Ki achrei machshvoseinu nelech. We're going to go after our own thoughts. Ve'ish shrirus libo hara na'aseh. And we will do, each person's going to do what they're thinking about in their hearts. The people have given up from wanting to change. They feel that they can't stand up to their own thoughts and feelings, as each person is driven by his impulses to do the wrong thing. After hearing how involved Hashem is in their lives and how much he wants them to improve, they don't think that maybe they should ask Hashem for help. Instead, they give up, knowing that their Yetzirah is too strong for them to withstand on their own. Lachin, there is a consequence for this attitude. Yirmiyahu should go to the other nations and ask if they have ever heard of such a thing. These nations, say the Malbim, have listened to the Nevi'im, like Nineveh, who did tshuva when Yonah came to them. But Yehuda is refusing to make any changes. They refuse to turn to Hashem, and so they are, verse 13, Sha'aruris asasam ma'od besulas Yisrael. The Virgin of Israel committed a very disgraceful thing. Yirmiyahu gives the mashal to explain how foolish the people are for giving up so easily. Let's imagine you have a tourist attraction, and you have a tourist who comes from a very hot, dry climate, and they get an Airbnb up in the mountains. Verse 14. Hayazov mitzor sadai shelig levanon. Should one abandon the water flowing from the rocks of the field, and this water is coming from the beautiful snow of the Lebanon? Would these people choose to read a book indoors or look at their screen, or would they go out and see the mountains, the Sheleg Levanon that's right there? Would they then complain that they're always parched if they could take the snow and drink it? Would they drink the water bottles that they brought from home? Or, Imyanashu Mayim Zarim Karim Nozlim, should different cold flowing water be abandoned? Would they abandon the beautiful, cold water, delicious spring water that's right there next to their hotel? Or would they say, why bother going to get water if I brought water from the tap at home? This is what the people did. Hashem is with them. They are living right there near his home. Hashem can provide them with everything, and they insist that they don't want to bother to ask for help from Hashem. They're the tourist who brought all their food and all their drink and is ignoring the natural resources right there at their doorstep. Instead, the people have forgotten Hashem, and in its place, Lashav Yekateru, they burn incense for nothing. They are stumbling around on Shvilei Olam, ancient paths. According to the Mitzudas David, they look to the ancient ways to idol worship and nature to help them out, and so they stumble and end up on Nisivos Derech Lo Selula, paths on a way that is not trodden. They don't try to remove the obstacles from the wide paths. Instead, they go on a route that is dangerous and has more problems. For this reason, Hashem will, verse 16, Basum artsam l'shama shrikos olam. make their land waste, a perpetual hissing, and it will surprise everyone who passes by how much things have degraded from where they started. The punishment will be severe. Hashem will scatter them all around as if they are being blown, verse 17, keruach kadim, by the most powerful easterly winds. When the punishment comes, the hashgacha, the oversight, Hashem has described in the previous psukim, will be diminished. Oref lo fanim ar'im b'yom edam. I will look upon their back and not their face on the day of their misfortune. The Radak says, because the nation hid from Hashem, Hashem will hide his face from them, and he won't be involved as directly in their lives. Verse 18. As we have seen in the previous prakim, these negative nevuos are not well received by the nation. The people decide to attack the messenger for his message. Yirmiyahu has a number of roles right now. He is a Kohen, he is a scholar, and he is a Navi. The people assess whether Yirmiyahu's job description, if he is replaceable. So they say, Kilo sovad Torah mi Kohen. The Torah shall be not be lost from the priest. There are other Kohanim around, aside from Yirmiyahu, who can also teach Torah just like Yirmiyahu does. Ve'etza mechacham, nor counsel from the wise man. There are other smart people who can give advice, just like Yirmiyahu is doing. Ve'davar minavi, nor speech from the prophet. The nation has other Nevi'im who they prefer their Nevuos, as they're not so negative and scary. So with these three roles taken care of, maybe not by the same person, they can replace Yirmiyahu. L'chu v'nakehu v'alashon. Come, let us strike him with the tongue, ba'al nakshiva al kol devarav, and let us not listen to anything he says. They seek to assassinate him. Yirmiyahu is faced with problems he cannot overcome. He is different than the people around him. They struggle and then give up as they won't turn to Hashem. Yirmiyahu always takes his concerns and then brings them to Hashem. He doesn't keep them to himself, which is a model for how the nation should be acting. Verse 19, Hakshiva Hashem Elai, Ushma Lekol Yirivai, Hashem, listen to me and hear the voice of those who quarrel with me. He asks Hashem to serve as a judge and determine who is correct in this argument. Yirmiyahu is always davening for the nation and advocating for them with Hashem, and yet they are plotting against him. Yirmiyahu identifies the core character flaw Yehuda is displaying, which is what Hashem said initially in the beginning of the Sefer, was how Bnei Israel related to him. Verse 20, Hayishulam tachas tova ra, should good be paid back with evil? The people have no hakaras hatov. They lack gratitude for everything Yirmiyahu has done. They are hurting him and trying to poison him once again. Yirmiyahu asks that there be consequences for their lack of gratitude. He is a representative of Hashem, and the people are acting corruptly toward him. Yirmiyahu asks that the children die in famine, the women should be bereft of their children and husbands, and the men who are not soldiers should die, and those who are soldiers should be killed in battle. He wants them to be scared when the soldiers come to attack. They should cry out, acknowledging what they have done wrong, and they should recognize that the punishment is coming because of what they have done to Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu closes his request, asking Hashem not to forgive the people when they cry at the end, but to pay them back for what they have done. In this parak, Hashem showed Yirmiyahu a symbol, that of a potter who shapes and forms his clay at will to teach the people that Hashem is in control. When Yirmiyahu warns the people of the Chorban, they once again give up on doing tshuva, which cements their fate. Instead, they try to kill Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu asks Hashem to deal with this betrayal. The lesson that we can learn, a lesson we can learn in this parak, is evident from the contrast between Yirmiyahu and the people. Hashem runs the world. Everything about a person's life is dependent on Hashem. The people gave up and did not turn to Hashem in tefillah. In contrast, Yirmiyahu took his pain and loss and asked Hashem to help him. His authenticity with his requests in each parak shows how strong his reliance is in Hashem and is a model for us all. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas Alexander Sender.